Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb, coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen to the show live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org or download it anytime on iTunes. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. I write about food, and my favorite part about what I do is finding out the stories and meeting the people behind great recipes, restaurants, and more. Every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air, bringing the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life by interviewing some of the most interesting women in the world of food. Today, I'm so incredibly delighted to have two wonderful women in the studio with me, Jody Williams, who runs Bouvette on Grove Street in the West Village and also in Paris, and Anna Covell, a chef, food editor, recipe developer, and food stylist, and who wears all those hats very well. Full disclosure, both Anna and I worked with Jody on her cookbook, also called Bouvette, which was released just a few weeks ago. And today we're here to go between the lines and find out more about the process of creating the book. So thank you both so much for being here. Jody, before we talk about the book, can you tell us a little bit more about Bouvette itself, the restaurant?
Well, first, wonderful to be here with you and Anna and on Cherry Bomb Radio.
Thanks, Jody.
And your question was what? Something about our cookbook?
About our cookbook and about what the cookbook is based on. And so Bouvette is your, can we call it your restaurant? You would call it a gastrotech?
It's my day job.
It's No,
Bouvette is much more than all those things.
Absolutely.
Of course, we call it our little gastrotech or West Village restaurant.
And tell us about the word gastrotech, because I never heard that before.
Well,
I met you.
We had to make it up, right? We made up a lot of stuff. But no, it's a word that sort of defines Bouvette as a place just to hang out with your friends from morning to late night and enjoy thoughtful food and drink.
And your background, just for people who don't know so much about you, because Bouvette is a completely French experience. Mm-hmm. The food is all French. The atmosphere feels like you could be in Paris. And if you go to the Bouvette in Paris, then you are there. But you are not French. You're from California.
I'm from California.
Yeah. And what kind of food were you cooking before you opened Bouvette?
Well, I started off studying classical cuisine, French cuisine, and then I moved to Italy and knocked on doors and taught myself Italian cuisine and came back to New York and did a lot of Italian cuisine and love it. And then on a whim and with much pleasure opened up Bouvette to be a classical Bouvette in New York City, and there we are. I'm making tart tartan and doing French food.
And there you go. And what year did Bouvette open?
Oh, wow. This is 2010. We began working on it. 2011, we got the door open, mm-hmm. and 3.5, close to 4 years, here we are.
Yeah. I think Bouvette is incredible because it feels like it's been there forever. And I mostly grew up in the West Village and lived in the West Village until about a year ago. And so I was long a fan of Bouvette before we started working together on the book. And you know, it's in a very special place. It used to be a restaurant called the Pink Teacup, which
yes.
was also very beloved. So it's a place with a lot of history. And I think when you walk into Bouvette now, you feel like it has this great feeling of feeling like it's always been there, but it also feels sort of new in a really wonderful way.
Well, thank
each
you.
Time. So, yeah, so this is, I think the show is mostly about my love of Bouvette, and having you here is a great excuse to talk about it. But now you also have Bouvette in Paris. So when did that open?
We opened up Bouvette in Paris, in Pigalle, mm-hmm. about ten months ago.
Yeah. And how are you splitting your time?
Luckily, I get to go back and forth, crazy commute. Mm-hmm. Every other month, I will go to Paris. And
how long will you spend when you go?
It could be a week, it could be 2 weeks. I spend a lot of the summer out there opening it, a greater amount of time. So, you know, go in, touch base, cook, bring people with me all the time. Anna, you're going. Anna will be joining me at the end of the month, and we'll spruce up the menu. Who knows?
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's
exciting.
Super cool. Mm-hmm. That'll be really fun. And so I think we should just jump into the cookbook. I would love to talk about it. I want to know about, because I helped work on the cookbook. We wrote it together. And I came in during the process, once you already had your book deal, so we just got right into working on it. But I want to back up a little bit more and find out about when the cookbook first started, and how long you were thinking about doing it, the first steps you took. Was it your idea? Did someone approach you to do it?
Well, I had a lot of support from people around me saying, this has got to be in a book, or you should do this, or how, you know. So they were laying the groundwork to this eventuality where we have a book deal and we're working together, all of us, in the kitchen. So it wasn't my first inclination, like, I got to race out into a book. So I was really prompted into doing it and met up with a great team and publisher, and it all started to come to life and fill the pages, no pun intended. But, you know, it's a benchmark in one's career, I guess, to do a book. And for me, I'm pretty timid about those kind of things. But, you know, it was, there it is.
I have a copy in the studio right now, so we're all sort of pointing to it as we speak. Anna, you were integral to what's my favorite part always about the book process, which is the photo shoot. And we should mention that we had, incredible photographers
Amazing
who worked on this.
Team.
We had Andrea and Marty, Andrea Gentile and Martin Hires, who go by Gentile and Hires, who are incredible. They would be here if they weren't in Mexico right now shooting another cookbook, so a day in the life of them will be next time. But Anna, tell us a bit more about your background and sort of the winding road that led you to lending such an integral and wonderful styling hand to this book.
Well, I was a restaurant cook for years and years, and then jumped around doing that for a long time, and then ended up as a food editor at Martha Stewart Living. I worked there for 11 years, and while I was there, I had to learn how to food style, because we all developed our own food stories and recipes, and then went to the shoots and styled the food, which was a great experience. And that magazine hired so many amazing photographers over the years, and so I got to know a lot of them. And last year I was contacted by Andrea and Marty, who said, we're working on a book. Would you like to come and work with us? It's not the typical food styling job, because we really want Jody's food. She wants to, you know, she's going to make the food and put it out there. We don't want to, you know, interfere too much with it and fuss too much.
And for people who might not know, typically on cookbooks, whether it's like a restaurant chef or, you know, an author who might not be a restaurant chef on a cookbook, for the most part, they're not usually the ones making the food. There's usually a dedicated food stylist.
Exactly.
So this really was an exception that Jody made everything.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops. It was my dream job.
So for you, in the past, you're working on shoots.
Normally, you're in the kitchen. You're managing the food from start to finish. And then once you go onto the set to style each dish, you have to leave somebody else in the kitchen to sort of bring all the next dishes together and get everything ready for you and all that stuff. So this enabled me to kind of go between Jody and the photographers and be in the restaurant shooting basically on set and kind of running back and forth in that tiny space.
And keep in mind, with Andrea and Marty, they're both shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the
two sets. It's going on twice as fast.
Yeah. It was pretty intense.
It was great, really fun. It was totally natural.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable how we all worked there.
Yeah.
And also we should mention Bouvette is really not a very large place.
BETT on the end says that. And so Jody was in the tiny kitchen at the top of the steps, and the photographers had a table at each end of the room, of the dining room, and where the window, you know, just found a table in the windows, basically.
Yeah, I think we were able to accomplish a lot in a pretty short period of time. And I think the book itself sort of speaks for that, because it's packed with just amazing visual material, and I think we were able to do so many grids in the book that have so many photographs, and we were able to do that because we got to take so many in that short period of time. And I would have loved if you wore a pedometer during the shoot,
because even though
Bouvette isn't very big, you really were in between
a lot of footsteps
the whole time.
It was
yeah,
harried,
absolutely.
And it was great.
It was, I think of it, I mean, this is sort of this whole, you know, radio show today is a bit like meta for me because I'm in the funny position of interviewing both of you about a book that we all worked on together. And I can honestly say it was one of the best work experiences of my life. And whenever I talk to anyone about it, and especially the shoot, I always describe our experience together, and Jody specifically, is like there's never any behind the scenes. And I feel like we really, we were able to kind of almost like live in Bouvette for the 10-day shoot. And Jody would prepare these gorgeous breakfasts in the morning. You would open bottles of wine when we were done. And
Jody was giving us two thumbs up. Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. You guys, the whole team, especially you two and the photographers, got it. You just knew Bouvette. I was so comfortable. The amount of gathering that you did, Anna, to get all the ingredients there. Because keep in mind, we're shooting not in the season sometimes. I mean, a lot of dishes. So the amount of work and to get everything there and care for like one apple or one specific spoon and Andrea Marty painting background. I mean, just the amount. It was all beautiful. You guys did Bouvette better than I did Bouvette. Actually, I'm like, right on.
Well, it was sort of an amazing, it was a confluence of things. I mean, everybody really got it, as you said. Like, we all felt it was just natural. Like, it was an environment that we were all really comfortable being in, and it was fun and appealing and inspiring to all of us. And then everybody contributed personal items. Like, you brought in all you called it your box of ephemera, and little things you've gathered over the years and saved, including old French newspapers and things that you allowed us just to put on the table and throw grilled oysters on top of and squirt lemon juice all over, and that gave it that really real feeling. We all brought little things from home, and Andrea had amazing things that she'd found and foraged over the years and saved, and things from the countryside, and I don't know, it was just incredible.
It was cool.
So people contributed. It felt very personal to everybody in a certain way.
Yeah, and everybody took care of everybody on this, on the shoot. That was great. The funny thing for me is I didn't know that I did not have to make the dishes. If we're shooting rabbit moutarde, I made rabbit moutarde and cooked it till it was falling off the bone.
But you know what? I think salt that comes through.
I know. And then I was like halfway through the shoot, I'm like, oh, it's just a picture. Maybe I could, you know,
you
twink it
to a certain extent, and then there was that moment towards the, I suppose, the end, and you had figured out you didn't have something ready the entire way, or you could just do it. And was it at the duck confit?
Oh, it was a duck confit moment.
And we were shooting it because we were like, well, it looks done. You know, it looks cooked. Yeah. Nobody could tell from looking at that picture. I mean, it was confit, but it wasn't heated through.
And the sunlight's going down, so we're rushing the shot.
We had like, I don't know, 15 shots to get through in that day or something, and then the staff came in.
Oh, yeah,
for
the
photo
portraits.
You were going to do portraits of the staff, and we had to realize we had to feed them, and we started putting all this food out frantically for the staff to eat. And at one point, one of the waiters, I think, just took that whole platter of duck confit and
started
somehow
eating.
It ended up on the
sounds
bar.
Like, sounds like my waiters.
They'd all eaten it.
I know who he is, too.
And you were like, where's that duck confit? It's not finished. It's not hot. It's not finished cooking.
That was a madhouse moment.
Yeah,
but wonderful
crazy.
And true to what Bouvette is, which is a place where you just feed people constantly.
Yeah.
And that's how
we have to feed
Yeah. And I was so naive about really all this, you know, how it was happening. I kept finding Q-tips around the thing. I'm like, what with the Q-tips? Because food stylist over here, Anna, was like cleaning it, took care of all the plates, made sure, you know, or made them more messy or whatever, you know.
There's
some
so
messy,
many.
Some clean.
I'm like, oh, okay, it's a technique thing. Yeah. I got it.
I think everyone who works basically in any industry, but in food, there's always like the tools of the trade, which I always find so interesting. That's one of my questions for Anna. But we're going to quickly take a break, and then we're going to come back with Jody and Anna to talk more about making the Bouvette book.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
Hi, and welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. Today we're in the studio talking with Jody Williams, the author of Bouvette, The Pleasure of Good Food, which is its subtitle, and Anna Covell, who helped us style the book. And right before we went to break, we were talking about pretty fun stories. Oh, I should add that I helped to write the book, so I was there for these stories. And we were talking about fun moments during the shoot. I think fun is a generous adjective, about the time when some of Jody's staff ate some of the food we hadn't taken a picture of. I would love to know more about your favorite memories from the shoot, and also a question Jody posed to Anna earlier about certain things you gathered for the shoot. And in particular, one memory that sticks out to me is Anna went above and beyond to source the most beautiful strawberries they weren't even a recipe. They were going along with the gelato recipe that's in the back of the book. I brought my copy of the book here today because I wanted to remember the page, because it's one of my favorite pictures. It's on page 251.
And can you see how juicy they are?
So tell us the process of, because we were shooting not in strawberry season. So as...
Right. It was a little bit early. It was, I think that was the April shoot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should add, we split the shoot into two shoots. Mm-hmm. So one happened, I guess, earlier in the spring and the other later. So early in the spring... I think, was it your idea to have the strawberries?
Oh, no, that was Jody's idea.
And so how did you find them? Because they're beautiful, beautiful strawberries. They're the kind where you bite them, they're red all the way through.
Yeah.
And we ended up using maybe a handful for the photo, but when they arrived finally on set, which was time coming, there was like a huge case of them. Yeah. So where did you find them?
Well, that was... another example of everybody contributing and really just sort of working together to make it happen. I looked around. I had someone, there was a buyer at Eataly who helped me a lot find a lot of produce, who was really great, named Gerardo. And then there were, you know, I was going to all the markets and calling everyone I could think of who, you know, I dealt with. I used to deal with Chef's Garden a lot in Ohio, but they didn't have anything. And I was calling people I knew who might be shooting out in LA who could maybe stop by the Santa Monica Farmers Market and carry a pint or two back with, you know, sort of like thinking of all that. And then finally, Andrea, who was one of the photographers on the book, said, "We just did a magazine shoot and our food stylist had some incredible strawberries." And I didn't know her food stylist, so she put me in touch with her. And this is a good example of where, you know, you think maybe people are competitive in some way, but it doesn't matter. Everybody's just kind of, nobody really minds. And so I called Harry's Berries in California, and I feel like it might even be a smaller farm that works under Harry's Berry, within Harry's Berries. But I spoke to a woman named Molly. I just found her name. And we had a really nice phone conversation, and she was sort of like, "Well, I have to go out. If you want those ones that size, they're just coming out now. I can go out in the field and I'll pick you your flat." You know, I had to really kind of... I felt like I was asking her a big favor.
Absolutely. I just think it's such a great example.
She was great.
Yeah.
And then she, in the end, I wrote her an email to thank her and tell her how crazy we all went when her strawberries arrived, and how...
I think there was clapping.
There was jumping up and down and crazy. They were so delicious. You could smell them. And then she said she wanted to come see Jody at the restaurant. Did she ever come visit you? Do you know?
You know what? I bet she did.
She might have. But it's just one of those funny things where you end up touching base with someone you never know. You just don't know who you're going to end up meeting.
Right.
And she was like, "I want to go see Jody at Bouvette," and I've been reading about it, and I don't know. It was sweet. And I feel like I'll go visit her if I'm ever in California again.
Absolutely. But no, it takes such a village to produce any book, and especially a cookbook that is so dense with images.
Yeah.
Just every part in those images has to be sourced from somewhere. And I think that was just such a great example of how many phone calls you had to make to get them. And again, it was for, you know, a handful of berries that accompanied.
I have to say the sensible me was saying, "I don't know if it's worth it. You know, this is a lot of trouble and it's costly to get these berries." But you know what? It really, everybody encouraged me to do it. Jody and Andrea Marty and you, and it was just, it makes the difference.
And it was also such a sort of like celebratory moment for all of us, because we knew what you went through to get them. And they were so delicious. And that's what the book is all about, is the pleasure of all this wonderful
feat.
Stuff.
Yeah. Picked at 5 a.m. and shipped same day. They arrived, you know.
They opened up.
And I mean, coast to coast for this, and for this little shot.
They survived. They were juicy and amazing.
And we loved them. We ate the rest of them. Thank you.
Everyone, go to Harry's Berries.
Another reason to open more champagne. It's not really about the book, is it?
And thank you, Molly.
It's the drinking after the book. That's so funny. Jody, what for you is the most challenging part of creating the book?
Well, writing isn't something I do as a chef, really. I do a lot of standing, cooking, lifting, carrying, washing. It's a whole different kind of work, a physicality, everything. And sitting down and finding time to do something that is more academic, so to say, you know, and do it. That was challenging, you know. A lot of times it felt like it was finals week. But fortunately, Julia Tertian came to the rescue and, you know. You were so nurturing and encouraging and just great experience. You did it. You got it done.
Thank you.
I mean, and at one point I said, we don't have any recipes, right? So we went to the kitchen and spent a month together and made the recipes, right?
Yeah. No, our process of getting the recipes on the page was, it was a huge effort, I guess, on both our parts, but you really showed up for that. And I mean that quite literally, because your recipes don't exist that I know of in writing previous to this book. There's no binder in the kitchen or database on a computer or and so to translate the recipes into a cookbook, we spent a lot of time. You would cook and I would.
Yeah, we were side by side. And then I probably changed 3 times a day, right? Well, you can do that, you can do that.
But that's the nature of, I think, a lot of these recipes and the kind of food that I know I really love, which is like there's an idea of what can be a really great version of something, but there's also flexibility to know that you can make it any number of ways depending on what's available or what you feel, how much time you have. So I think hopefully that comes through.
I feel like what we did was cooking. And you translated it all into recipes, which is a challenge and unique. But that's really what happens in professional kitchens. And there's that verbal tradition that I love, that how I'm self-taught chef learned. People told me how to do things in different places and situations and markets and whatever. So I would just pass it along.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I think it was amazing for me to be on the receiving end of that tradition and just hearing about all of your experiences and everything you make. So putting it together on the page and then bringing all those recipes to life through the photographs was something I know I'll never forget. And I love this book and I'm so proud of it. I'm so glad to talk about it. Every week on the show, we do something called the Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire Q&A, which is... nothing to stress about.
You didn't tell us about that earlier, Julia.
Because if I did, you would come prepared with answers, which we don't want. There, it's 8 questions, nothing crazy.
Okay.
No stretching required before anything. I'm going to ask each of you the question, and then you'll both answer, and then we'll move on to the next question. So no pressure, no stress. The first Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire question. Jody, sweet or salty?
That's my answer. See, I was beginning to say sweet, but I couldn't do 100% sweet. I need salty. So can I say shish?
That works. I'll accept that. Anna?
Definitely salty.
Yeah. Jody, what did you have for breakfast today? Did you?
Okay, I'm going to tell the truth. All right? I found a box of Junior Mints when I was getting socks. I can't explain that to you. I had a few Junior Mints.
I'm sorry, were they in the sock drawer?
Well, the box was in the sock drawer.
Okay.
Right. So I had a few Junior Mints. I felt bad about that. That's not right. Then somebody handed me a low-fat cottage cheese, but it was dated 4/23. I passed. I went for 2 mozzarella sticks and got back to work. I am not off to a good day, but that's what happened. I am working on this.
That's good.
I am working on this.
That's an amazing answer.
Anna.
I actually had I had whole grain multigrain toast with peanut butter on it and a banana.
Banana on the toast?
No, I had actually had the banana first with some coffee because I drink coffee first and I need something in my stomach. So I had a banana while I was making my son lunch for school. And then I sat down and had a piece of toast with peanut butter and honey. Yeah, that was good.
Delicious.
I felt pretty good about it.
I want to hear
I was about to say, Jody's coming to your house tomorrow morning with a box of Junior Mints. Jody, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading Top 10 Things to Do in Stockholm.
Are you going to Stockholm?
I'm going to Stockholm, yes, at the end of the month.
Great. Anna, what are you reading?
Oh, I have lots and lots of things next to my bed. I'm reading a novel by Rachel Kushner, who it's called The Flamethrowers, and she's my cousin's cousin, and I like her, and it's a hot book.
It's a small world.
Yeah, and I'm also reading When Things Fall Apart.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful book. Mm-hmm. Jody, if I were to look into your refrigerator right now, what might I be surprised to find? Your refrigerator at home.
Oh, my refrigerator at home. Not my other five refrigerators. That refrigerator. My refrigerator. You would be surprised to find a year-old loaf of pain d'épices.
Nice.
You can correct my French. Épices, thank you. Year-old. I'm going to eat it one day, too. I'm not giving up. I'm going to have it for toast and breakfast.
They're meant to last, so.
That's what I hear.
So you're testing it.
Hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Anna?
That's a tough one. I have a persimmon that's been sitting there for at least 3 months. It's getting really soft and a little bit brown.
Saving it for that special day.
Yeah, you might think I'd have a fresher piece of fruit, but I have a lot of lemons.
Yeah. That's good. Jody, what's your go-to snack? Junior Mint?
No, my go-to snack? Within arm's reach? Ikawana. What could I... I can't travel in New York City without thinking, what is great to eat within this area? If I'm in the West... Well, I'm always in the West Village. Near Taim, I might... do I have time for falafel? How much do I need a falafel? If I'm passing somewhere else, I might say, wow, this is a good dosa. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I mean, I can't get this out of my mind. If I'm... You know, where is...
So you're always going towards your snack. You're not bringing your snack.
No, if I'm somewhere, I will find the snack.
Yeah.
Right.
The geography.
Like snack radar.
I can say from experience you do have incredible knowledge of those kinds of foods in New York, and I feel like you turned me on to a lot of places I didn't know about.
Well, and I cultivate a lot of bad habits.
Anna, what's your go-to snack?
Oh, so many things. But I relate to what you're saying, Jody. I do that too. I think, where am I and what can I eat near here? Like, is it... There's near my son's school, but it's like yesterday. It's like, do I have time to go get one of those Vietnamese summer rolls? Or we're going to walk past Damascus Bakery and I'm going to get a spinach pie or a falafel sandwich. It's like that, too. I mean, that's a big snack, but otherwise nuts, cheese, chips,
nuts,
whatever.
Let's switch
anything.
Rolls, Anna. I want to hear
giddy.
You say.
What is your favorite time of day?
I love dusk. As the sun's going down, because I rarely get to enjoy that moment because dinner starts, I'll usually be in the kitchen or at work. But when I'm out, it's so beautiful.
Especially this time of year.
Right.
Yeah.
Every time I get myself out in the morning, I feel really good. I'm like, wow, it's so nice out here in the morning. I should get out earlier every day.
I feel
the
same way.
The air feels so fresh.
In my fantasy.
Yeah,
I'm like
exactly.
A very early morning person,
right.
but in reality.
Right.
Jody, where do you want to travel to next? I know you're going to Stockholm and Paris, but if you could go anywhere and it wasn't necessarily for work or anything, where would you go?
Oh, God. Immediately comes to mind this picture. I keep seeing these huts that stand over water in Bora Bora.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think I got to get there one day. But I'd probably love to spend a long weekend in London. You know.
Very doable, yeah. Anna, what about you? Where would you like to go next?
I want to go to Italy. And I'm kind of interested in going to Switzerland lately. I don't know why. Mountain air.
Chocolate.
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 The last cherry bomb rapid fire question. Jody, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
Wow. My favorite meal as a child, my mother tried to make tacos, but I don't think she even understood what a taco was now that, you know. Sometimes she would try to make spaghetti. That was probably a good one, but she wasn't really good at it. But poor mom. But what was my favorite meal? Oh man, let's see. I don't know.
Junior mints.
Am I junior mints? No. Oh wow, that's a good question. I'm coming up with nothing as a childhood.
Did you have a good cook in your family, or did you pick it up on your own?
I think I had self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. I had to get out there and light
like
the hibachi. You know,
it'd
probably be my own 7-year-old self making teriyaki
there
steaks.
You know,
I was allowed to light the hibachi as long as I ran the garden hose. I'm from California. That makes sense to some of you. Right.
That's smart.
Yeah.
About so you started cooking.
I caramelized pineapple back then, too. Yeah. Maybe
very
not on purpose, but I did it.
You're ahead of your time. Anna, what was your favorite
spaghetti
meal? Spaghetti.
Yeah, they still laugh at me about it because I would always say, more, 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 I want more. And
what
just keep putting it on my plate.
Anything on it?
Tomato sauce. I learned how to make the tomato sauce when I was about 11 or so, too. Yeah.
Cool. Can't go wrong.
Yep.
It's perfect.
I was into it.
Delicious. Well, Jody and Anna, thank you both so much for being here. That flew by. I just want to let everyone know that Bouvette, The Pleasure of Good Food, is available in bookstores everywhere. It's available online at places like Amazon, which you may have heard of. You can also stop into Bouvette on Grove Street for a personalized copy, which means, tell us about the personalized copies.
A personalized copy at Bouvette. Well, it means I will sign it with pleasure. But we've done this thing. We've drilled a hole through the corner of your book, and we put a little leather cinch so you can. We hang them in Bouvette. So we have a lot of.
So they're around.
By request, we started doing this, and we have sort of fun, strange thing. But it's really great,
it's
actually.
Wonderful.
Hang it on your wall.
And where can we find out more about Bouvette? Online.
You can go to Bouvette. You can go to ilovebouvette.com or just stop in the restaurant at 42 Grove Street. We open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 2 a.m., straight through, eat and drink, no reservations. So it's a madhouse.
And Anna, where can we find out more about you?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe we'll see you at Bouvette.
I have a little tiny website, but it's still under improvement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
See me at Bouvette.
I think I'll see you both there.
Yeah.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next Wednesday at 2 o'clock on Heritage for another episode of Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.